Subscribe to The Spectator today and make your prediction for the 2024 US election winner. If you choose correctly, you'll receive a £30 Amazon gift card and the chance to win a case of Paul Roger champagne. Go to spectator.co.uk/decide24.
Hello and welcome to Table Talk, The Spectator's food and drink podcast. I'm Olivia Potts.
And I'm Laura Prendergast.
And today we're delighted to be joined by Terry Wiggins, MBE. Terry is a chef who leads the catering team at Westminster's Portcullis House and is the longest serving member of the House of Commons catering team. He began working in the House of Commons 50 years ago and since then has served 13 prime ministers. He was awarded an MBE in 2010 for his services to Parliament and has just retired. Terry, welcome to Table Talk.
Good morning and thank you.
Terry, as listeners know, we always start this podcast in the same place. We ask, what are your earliest memories of food?
My earliest memories of food is with my mum, like I think most chefs, cooking with your mum a long, long time ago. That was very traditional. And I was thinking this the other day, it was sort of 15 years after the war, which made me think I'm pretty old, really. So it was traditional. I remember my dad always on a Friday would have mackerel or herrings or that sort of thing, not like fried fish and chips, you know, that still wasn't around quite so much then. And we'd have hearts and liver and steamed puddings and that sort of food. So, yeah, that sort of thing.
And what were mealtimes like in your family?
Mealtimes with my brother, all sitting down the table together. Dad used to be home at 5 o'clock. We would always have dinner at 6 o'clock. Yeah, and it was very nice, you know, very much family.
And did you enjoy food from a young age? Were those, you know, the hearts and livers that you talk about, did you enjoy them as a child?
I did, yeah. That was the food of that day. Probably didn't know much more about world foods. Of a Thursday, my mum used to go to the bars, washing, as was a traditional sort of thing then, and we'd have pie and mash. Sunday tea was jellied eels, cockles, winkles. It was a typical South London sort of upbringing.
Mm. And what about school food? What was school food like?
Loved my school food. My wife was a school cook, so I got a big school cook's up. But no, always went back for seconds. Always loved the puddings. Yeah, very good.
And I think I'm right in saying that your mother had a job in, was it in Parliament?
So she used to go to Parliament. She worked in Fleet Street for a while and she popped in working in the press. You could say I was destined to be in Parliament. I was born in the General Lyon Inn, which is part of St Thomas's Hospital. So I was facing Parliament straight away. I lived down the Woolworth Road, almost opposite the Labour Party headquarters. So, yeah, I was destined to...
And you went into the House of Commons catering service age 16. So tell us about that period and what it was like when you started.
Oh, it was amazing. I did home economics at school. I had a really good teacher. We used to dress up whole salmon and, you know, have some functions at school, which was really good. And they approached me through the school careers office. There's a job going at the House of Commons. How do you fancy that? So I thought, you know, wow, it's, you know, one of the most iconic buildings in the world. Everybody knows Big Ben. And so I went along for the interview and I got the job, 16 years old. First day in, they said to me, there's no work. What do you mean no work? Because Parliament is today with Portcullis House, you've got 64 Tottle Street. It's like Westminster Village. It's got really, really big. So they said there's no work. So I had the week off, which was nice. So then there was a general election. There was two general elections in that year. So I had 6 weeks off for that. And then it was Christmas. So I had time for that. So as a 16-year-old, I was getting paid £13 as my wage packet. And I thought, happy days, I'm going to stay here. So, yeah, that's why I've been there ever since.
And when you started, what was the food like in the House of Commons then? What were you preparing?
So traditionally, we sort of did a lot of French food. We had frog's legs on the menu. We did things like tripe and onions, Provençal. We had salvers on functions of trout almondine. And then we would have things like chicken Westminster, which is basically just a whiskey sauce with cream. We would have sole veronique, which is classically French. So, yeah, starting off a bit French and a bit that sort of style.
And just for listeners who, I mean, I'm not aware either, but where does all the cooking take place in Parliament? What's the kind of setup?
So we have about 12 kitchens. So the main is the members' dining room, strangers' dining room. Then you've got the terrace cafeteria, and off that you've got the members' tea room. You've got Moncrief's, where the press people go. Then you come over to Portcullis House, where I am. There's One Parliament Street, there's Richmond House, and then there's, in the next few years, there's going to be even more catering outlets. And as I said, we've got chefs in Tottle Street and 64 Victoria Street as well. So a very vast outlet, really.
And how do you approach the menu planning for that sort of, you know, quite impressive size of kitchen catering?
I'll add to that. So 8,000 covers a day as a department. So that's about 30-odd thousand a week. So we do almost 1 million covers a year, which is phenomenal. There's 15,000 pass holders, 650 MPs, and then they bring guests in as well. So it's experience, really, how you work out how you're going to cater for that number.
Mm.
Our number one selling dish in Parliament is jerk chicken.
Oh, yes, I've heard about the jerk chicken.
Yeah, it's quite famous. It had its own Twitter account at one stage.
Am I right in thinking you brought that was your dish?
It wasn't. Oh, I can't hold my hands up to that. A lot of people think it was. That was a guy called Sean McNellis.
Okay.
He came up with the idea, and it's a phenomenon now. It really is. On a busy day, I would do 500 portions of jerk chicken, 450 of jerk pork, and then all the other outlets. So we could do 2,000 in a day as a building. Yeah, it's got absolutely amazing. It really is. And a lot of people just like the sauce. The sauce is, you know, if you're into that sort of thing, it's, yeah, really, really good.
That's obviously a big change from the sort of very classical French, the trout almondine that you're talking about when you started, and the jerk chicken now. What broad changes have you seen over your long-standing career in the kitchens there?
So we had a go at Nouvelle Cuisine. Yeah, I can hear you laughing there. I think a lot of people did at the time, thinking, where's the rest of my meal? Is that the starter? So, yeah, we went through that transition. And travel has had a massive influence in catering. People are going all over the world now, and they want to have that experience of coming back. And, you know, if they have a really good meal, if they've been to anywhere in the world, you know, that's bringing back memories, good memories for them. And hopefully, you know, we produce that food that brings them memories back. And that's why the customers keep coming back, because we're producing that. And my style of food in Portcullis House is street food, which has that benefit of doing that sort of style.
As Liv mentioned, you've had 13 prime ministers, presumably all kinds of dignitaries and diplomats visiting over the years. How do you handle that side of things? And are there any particular challenges that come with catering for those sorts of eminent types?
So we treat everybody the same. In Portcullis House, members get in a queue together. So they all come in, pick their tray up. They could be standing with a researcher or one of the chippies, boiler makers, and they're just there and they're chatting with the staff, which is always nice. And then when you get VIPs, then obviously that goes to the banqueting office. We find out what dietary diets they need, and then we go from there.
What's the strangest food request you've had during your time there?
I did get asked for, can I have some grated cheese? Grated cheese not being an odd thing. And I said, what's that for? And they went, to go on my apple pie.
Yeah,
that was a bit of an odd one. So, but somebody asked me this question the other day. If that's what you like to eat, then what is odd about it? It's odd to the person that may be serving it, but you could have been eating that sort of thing for years. You know, if you want baked beans in a wrap or, you know, something odd like that, then who am I to say that you can't have it? You know, we're serving it to you and he's gone away or she's gone away happy that we've served it, you know, and that's what they wanted at the end of the day.
Yeah. And are there, of the prime ministers that you've served, are there any that are sort of particularly memorable for the food that they liked or perhaps disliked?
That's a difficult question to answer. Mm. I've probably served about 30,000 members of parliament. I worked that out as well the other day. Being there 50 years, 650 MPs in 5 years. You could probably take 10,000 off that, but to pick anybody out of 20,000 people is really difficult. They've all been very good. They're always very good to staff. Mm. As I said, a lot of them are in the queues with staff at lunchtime. They chat. It's a good atmosphere.
And you met your wife, Christine, working the catering service in the House of Commons, I think. And you mentioned that she's a school cook. Who does the cooking at home?
We both have a go. Even my son now, he's 24, and I think he's got it in his blood to cook. Now I'm at home, I'm going to be doing a lot more. We're going to come up with a plan. My job now is to go and do the shopping, which is fine with me. They will come up with a menu for the week, and we're going to do it like that, which makes things nice and easy.
And Terry, what for you is comfort food?
Comfort food? What's ever put in front of me, really? I'm not a fussy chef. You know, people say to me, do you go into restaurants and complain? No. If something is really bad, then you have to mention it. But you know what goes on in the kitchens. You know the pressure that is put on all catering staff, be it a steward, waitress, the chef. You know, it covers everybody, the front of house manager. And if you're in a busy, busy place, then you know what to expect. So it makes
and
that different.
Are there any restaurants that you're particularly fond of?
So down in Seaford, there's a really nice restaurant there. It's Italian. They do an amazing tiramisu. They do a limoncello tiramisu, and at Easter time is half an Easter egg filled with tiramisu.
Wow, that sounds really delicious.
So it's a bit indulgent. I recently came across a restaurant called Dash, which is an Indian restaurant. And, yeah, I go to lots of different places and try different foods, you know, and that's what people should do. Yeah, enjoy foods, experience it.
And do you enjoy cooking for friends, or is that a bit of a busman's holiday?
No, I do. You know, it's a chance for me to give them foods that maybe, you know, they've not had before. So doing different things, even if it's just a simple thing like a barbecue. You know, you may do something a bit different. You know, you may have a bunch of herbs that you've been putting different herbs and spices and you're brushing it on your steaks and that, so you're flavouring them up. They may not have seen that simple thing before. You know, or putting different marinades onto things. Barbecuing a whole lamb. We've done that down at a rugby club before, something a bit different.
You're a big fan of rugby, aren't you? Because I think I'm right in saying you started the Commons and Lords rugby union team. Are you still going to be involved in that, or have you also had to...
No,
ways of that too?
Definitely. We just recently had our 40th dinner in Parliament. Mm. Philip Oppenheim, who was an MP many years ago, and Humphrey Mallins approached myself. We used to have a staff rugby team, just very low level. You know, we were all chefs and that. We wasn't internationals or, you know, very top players, but we used to enjoy our rugby. And Philip wanted to start a parliamentary team, and they were short of MPs. So we said, yeah, we'll play. And now that has turned in to international rugby. So when the Six Nations are on, we play against equivalent parliamentary teams, so against France, Ireland, Scotland, Wales. We played a couple of games against Italy, but unfortunately that's fallen by the wayside, but hopefully that will build up again. And then when there's a World Cup on, we go to those countries and play against South Africa, New Zealand.
So these are all parliamentary teams.
So these are all parliamentary teams, yeah. And what a lot of people don't realise is that the parliamentary team raise over £10,000 a year to the British Heart Foundation and to other foundations. And at the dinner last week, we raised over £1,000 for Great Ormond Street. And the Sunday after, I cycled 54 miles with a London to Brighton and added another £500 for that.
Oh, good for you. So. Very impressive, Terry. And I just want to ask you about your dogs, because I think it was it Lucy Powell, who, the leader of the House, recently said that your dogs must be the best-fed dogs in the country. Is that true?
Frankie and Benny. Yeah, they are well looked up. They're a Bichon Frise. They are absolutely amazing dogs. Benny is sort of my therapy dog. He's not a therapy dog, but he knows when I'm not in a good mood. He'll come and sit down at me, or he'll just look at me. Or if I've seen something on the telly and, you know, you've cursed or whatever, he's there straight away making sure I'm all right. They are wonderful dogs. They really are. We look after them. My wife would be lost without them.
We normally ask guests whether or not they have a sweet tooth, but you may have answered that with the lemon tiramisu question. Are you partial to a pudding, Terry?
I am. I'm a bit naughty. I dunk biscuits of a morning. That's sort of my breakfast before I'm out the door, just before 6 o'clock to get the early train. But yeah, even my daughter, yeah, very much. We love our desserts.
What are your faves?
So, as I said, the tiramisu, but going back, you know, you can't beat a good old trifle. You really can't. I do a twist at Christmas using panettone and maybe putting Baileys into it, doing things like that, making the cream different. Bread and butter pudding as well, putting chocolate and different bits. You know, just trying to make it a bit quirky, a bit different.
Terry, we always finish with the same question as well, which is, what would be your desert island meal, your kind of ultimate last meal? What would you go for?
So I'll probably go with seafood. As I mentioned, I just absolutely love seafood. I love the freshness of seafood. Opening oysters up and tasting the sea, that sort of thing. I love, I've mentioned the sweet things, the tiramisu. But anything that's cooked really well. I'm into tomahawk steaks at the moment. That was my son's fault.
So do you have oysters, steak, tiramisu?
Probably go for the seafood, like a seafood stew with mussels and clams, sea bass maybe in it, or something, you know, some of a white fish that may be in there. And then a nice sauce to go with that, dipping your French stick into the sauce and that.
Would you have a drink?
Yeah, I'm partial to an IPA. That's what I like.
Well, Terry, thank you very much for joining Table Talk.
Thank you. I really enjoyed that. Thank you.